This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting, May 1st, 2012.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order, and then whenever the food comes, we'll just break and get food. So I called the meeting to order at 4:35 or 4:36. Are there any late additions to the agenda? The agenda's over there if you guys didn't get a chance to pick them up yet. Or saw everyone new.
Where's Harry? Huh?
Where's
Harry?
Harry. Oh.
There. Yeah, hi. I was looking for the handout, of course.
My computer is not in the office at the moment, so.
That's okay.
So are there any late additions to the agenda? No, seeing none, we'll move to the committee updates. Campus Infrastructure Committee.
So we met yesterday and talked about what our goals for next year are, and also like collected contacts of different individuals who would be helpful for next year's committee to be able to reach out to for different topics like transportation and IT and such. And then we also decided to come up with things to pass on to the next year's committee.
Yeah, so he actually made a really great Google document form that has all this information on it, and if you, Ramsey, and Phil don't mind, I'll forward it to you guys, and then if you could do something similar to it, or I don't know if you guys already have.
Yeah, he sent the Google, yeah.
Oh, cool. Right. Cool, awesome. Okay, so then we'll move on to your committee then.
Okay, we didn't have a meeting. Our last meeting was the last UA meeting, but we did discuss things, rooms for improvement. I think I addressed it at the last UA meeting of how we can improve the Google Docs. I also individually was pursuing more knowledge in terms of course evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So I found like a go-to person to speak to, and I'm intending to create like a file of whoever becomes the next chair, just to give them like a couple pointers of what to pursue.
And then CJC?
All right, so this year was immensely challenging year. Not to give me a nervous breakdown. But we were productive. We have many proposals, including Title IX issue. Our last meeting was a while back when we passed our last set of proposals. I'm definitely going to fill out that Google Doc, because there's a lot of things the next CJC chair needs to know, including it not be a student, maybe a faculty member, but that's besides the point. But other than that, that's it.
Anything else? Is that all? Okay. Then moving on to new business. So,
could I make a comment?
Yeah.
I think it's a really great idea to make a document for the next chair. I mean, that's really helpful because we know the transition process is
dramatic. Yeah.
But I think that's really great, and I encourage you to put as much information in as you can.
Definitely, especially, I can just talk from my experience. My transition into this was very much thrown into it, and very, like, it was pretty difficult on my part, so I think it's definitely a good move.
So moving on to new business, the first item on the agenda is University Hearing and Review Board. So I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this, but were you able to, were the interviews completed or not?
The interviews that were originally on the schedule were all complete.
Okay.
There was more that came in after the day.
There were 13 candidates that we couldn't schedule interviews for in that space, and I think they were parceled out to the committee. I wasn't present at the meeting, so I may be misreporting this, but I thought they were parceled out at that meeting for people to make arrangements on their own and interview them.
No, they were not. Everyone said, we tried to figure it out, and we said we'd talk to you based on to try to figure it out, but no one really had time at that point to do anything.
Can I describe what the process has been in recent years, and then maybe make a suggestion about how to proceed with it. So several years ago, the process was that two members of the committee would interview each candidate, and they would identify exactly who was going to be appointed to the university steering interview board pool for the next year. But maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the size of the pool was expanded significantly, and the amount of interest also increased to the point where it was not possible to schedule two people to interview each candidate. And this year that got even more exacerbated. We had a great turnout of candidates. There was close to 50 candidates. And the hearing interview, the Cozen Judicial Committee members who were interviewing them, six of the nine members who stepped forward to do interviews, interviewed about 35, 37 to sort of 13 months. 37 candidates, but the remaining 13 couldn't be interviewed before the committee had its meeting, initial meeting to discuss them. I'm leaving one other thing out, which is in recent years, because it's been difficult to ascertain exactly who is renewing for the next year, and it's been difficult to ascertain exactly how many vacancies there will be, instead of having the University Assembly approve the actual appointments of people, they approve a slate of candidates who are ranked in order of sort of preference. These are the most qualified people. These people are highly qualified but not as qualified. And then our office would basically fill in the slots as they become available, starting at the top of that list and going down. What happened this year, because not all the candidates could be interviewed at all, is that slate hasn't been prepared yet. The concern we run into is with a certain number of hearing interview board members graduating this semester, and also with the possibility of hearings happening over the summer, we need to have some sort of mechanism for filling in those vacancies in the month of June. So if we can approve a slate today, it would be good at least to have a consensus in the University Assembly that whoever is on the executive committee over the summer could sign off on that slate once it's sorted out.
So would somebody in the UA like to make a motion to allow the, or do you have the interim executive board approve the slate?
I just want to comment that with the process you described, it didn't happen last year.
Yeah.
So we were, I was under the impression that that was what was going to do this year.
I don't remember the slate. I think that the slate was presented at the organizational meeting last year.
I remember specifically approving it this year. That's the first thing this year. I could be wrong with it.
That might have been another issue which I left out of this, which is that the appointment calendar used to be such that there were a bunch of vacant positions over the summer, but that's been resolved. Basically, everybody's term turns over at the beginning of June now, so, sorry, that's a little bit.
I'll motion that.
I think it's just very important that there be a consensus in the University Assembly that it's okay with the executive committee on its own appointing a slate of people. Once again, most of the work is done by the Judicial Committee, but technically the UA has the final say on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a motion, is there a second?
Yes.
So Sean motions, Ramsey seconds. All those in favor? All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 9-0-2. Next on the agenda is an update on the campus planning activities by Randy.
It's campus planning committee. that's one of the associated committees to the assembly. And so there were two things that were discussed, and I don't have any pictures to show you because they're in process. The vet school would like to expand. They'd like to expand on the order of building 34,000 square feet and renovating 97,000 square feet. So I asked, what's the need for the expansion? Because my feeling is people like to build buildings, and then the programs will follow. And so I asked, what was the need? And there were two answers. One, that there's a national and state need for more vets. Whether those vets will go to graduate and go to places that don't need vets is a completely different question. So then they expanded a little more on that. And Cornell has a very highly ranked vet school. And there's a lot of growth of for-profit vet schools around the Caribbean, etc. And the question is, how do you deal with that? And well, one of the ways is building new buildings. That's what they're thinking of, and the new buildings will, the academic programs will be determined based on the building development, and they'd like to bring in more students. I think on the order of 20% more students. To build the vet school more. The for-profit vet schools don't offer clinical experience. That's the most expensive part, the most building-intensive part. So they hope to get the people that go to for-profit vet schools to come for their clinical experience at Cornell. And the other thing, by expanding the size of the class, they have to have auditoriums that are bigger, although it's fewer people come to class because they can do things online. They don't necessarily have to be built bigger, So anyhow, though, that's the about the stage of development.
So it's more clinicals, and then do they
more?
It's they're expanding more, so for like the clinical aspects of things. Or?
If you ask me, the expansion is the point. And then everything else is the justification. That's my perspective and my take on it. They will expand. They need, like I said, they in order to increase the class, they need larger lecture halls. Except they really know that people won't come to lectures anymore because they'll listen, they'll need to get the information online.
So that's big test. Test day, everyone's there.
So, how much building is necessary is really a good question, and it's in process.
Question: are they planning on expanding the faculty? Does that go with it?
I don't know.
If it's clinical, they can do it without expanding tenured faculty, for sure.
Yeah.
And this is a sort of dumb question, but this 34,000 square feet, is that a footprint, or is that the footprint of the building, or is that all?
Oh.
It could be a skyscraper, so it could fit in a needle.
Oh, good question. I was thinking two-dimensionally, and it's a three-dimensional world. I'm not sure. Actually, those numbers mean nothing to me.
Did they present what I would call market analysis coming from the industry of the need and then the gap and then see how they're going to...
They didn't. That's when they were presenting the building first and saying that whatever buildings are built will determine the programs, and then I wanted to ask, is there a need? So that came into question.
Because there are only, when I applied, there's only 21 schools. regionally preferential, so if you live in the Northeast, there's only very few that could apply to you. And then, so, you kind of have an audience, and I didn't know what, how the audience depth was for.
So they said that there's both a national and a state need, that the professional association recognizes that need. From what I hear, is that's like to go where that's not needed.
Maybe it's a large animal.
I guess I can't see that. You mean go to where?
To places. For example, instead of going to a large animal vet that's necessary in some place,
in
2 or 3 hours from here, or whatever, people like to
go to a retirement community that doesn't allow dogs.
That there's a lot of vet school is very expensive, and there's a lot of competition where vets want to go to work. That it's hard to pay off those loans, and all. And we're...
Okay, I see.
The market is... Yeah. The market analysis is kind of funny. Even if you put out more vets, they may not go where you need them.
So,
I mean, I'm all for creating more buildings that make the university better and keeps this place looking nice. But this
especially glass buildings, because we can show us that.
Of course. But this situation seems very similar to what the law school community felt about 15 years ago with the expansion of for-profit law school. And I know this sounds unrealistic, but the ranking system kind of prevents school, the non-profit traditional schools from really being detrimentally affected from those for-profit law schools. I know, obviously, you're increasing the supply, but the impact of that, I'd say, is a little bit less than what they might even think. But that's just how it is.
Yeah, so that I can understand worrying about that, but they weren't presenting it from these are our first principles and our assumptions. They were presenting it here's the building. And so they weren't prepared to really answer. Which makes me think the building is the most important thing.
So this is coming from the campus planning. I'm assuming that they've been in, that this is also coming from the vet school?
Yes. So the other thing that actually the UA was involved with was the master plan. And the master plan, I think, was a real success. And it was essentially a constitution that says, we want to first and foremost maintain the green space and then put buildings where they're appropriate so that the green space is maintained. Part of that was making Tower Road a pedestrian way. That won't work because there's too much traffic that needs to go through there. But there's a plan that will hopefully be done by 2015 that, in terms of expense, is modest, about $400,000, which I guess is nickels and dimes for these kind of things. And it's to get rid of all the parking spaces on Tower Road and put gardens, storm drains, and benches so it looks nice and hospitable and have it in time for the Sedgwick Centennial. So because of all the construction, all the oaks there, some of the oaks look like they used to look. So sort of knock those down, either all together and put things up, or little by little, whatever is going to look best and be cost effective. And the people thinking about this, as opposed to the building people, I think are really looking for the pluses and minuses and you can have the best program to make that street look really nice, be hospitable, have places for buses to come in, and be a nice part of campus.
Is there any other questions for Randy or anything else you'd like to report on before we move on? Seeing none. Is there a motion to suspend the meeting, I guess?
Yeah.
We're going to suspend the meeting just for a minute and get food and then come back.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any dissent against unanimous?
No.
Okay, we're good.
It takes one to hold
on.
And the audit process.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get back to the agenda. You guys can eat, continue to eat, and then talk afterwards as well. So the next item under new business is discussion on a UA resolution passed last year about intro to bio.
So Evan mentioned that typically the UA doesn't know what happened in past years, and we should. Marilyn Monroe would say.
Didn't work. Is there any more rabbits you're
going to put on? I'm just hoping. So I thought, what a good chance to discuss what happened to Resolution 11 from 2009. Because this was a time when the UA did something really good. What people would say is brave, but I'd say just normal. Just what normal people do. Not try to hide. Not try to mince words, but just normal. And it was a resolution that I'm going to read to you. Resolution regarding curriculum changes and introductory biology classes. Whereas according to, and the information comes from the site and the whereases, because it was closed. It was not a transparent process. There was no place to get information anywhere else but what was made public by the site. Whereas according to Article 1.6 of our Charter, the University Assembly may make recommendations to the university faculty or the respective college faculties in academic matters of concern to the UA. Whereas according to Bylaw 1.6A, academic matters may include curriculum. Whereas an article in the Cornell Daily Sun on November 2, 2009, entitled Bio Majors Removed Intro Course to Electives to Take Its Place, states that the instructors of the introductory courses, however, did not play a major role during the deliberation process, and that the members of the Biology Curriculum Transition Committee were unavailable for comment. Where students and faculty in the biological sciences that were neither consulted nor informed by the Biology Curriculum Transition Committee have an interest in curriculum review and change. Whereas the many students interested in taking introductory biology as an elective to explore the breadth of the biological science have an interest in curriculum review and change. Whereas the students interested in taking introductory biology are prerequisite for taking upper level courses and majors outside of biology or applying to medical school and have an interest in curriculum review and change. Whereas major changes in curriculum should be transparent to interested students, staff, and faculty. Whereas an article in the Cornell Daily Sun on November 16, 2009, entitled See You Not Alone in Changing Bio Curriculum, states that another key factor in the decision to adjust the curriculum comes from future changes in MCAT requirements for medical school admission. Whereas Cornell University should be above teaching to the test. Be it resolved that the Biology Curriculum Transition Committee will do everything in its power to make its deliberations transparent and to seek input from the Cornell community. We suggest the Biology Curriculum Transition Committee use as a model the format established by the UA to create a transparent and inclusive process when it undertook a revision of the campus code of conduct by holding public forums and setting up a website that seeks and displays input from the campus community and makes the committee's deliberations transparent. The president punted on this. President Scorton punted. He showed us a website from another biology committee and said, oh, it's transparent, look. And Charlie Walcott, who was one of, now University Ombudsman, previous dean of faculty, chairman of this committee, an intro bio teacher, was one of the signers of this unanimously passed resolution because he also didn't know what was going on. There were four biology faculty members on the UA at the time. Charlie, me, Bill Biorci, who was chairman of microbiology and didn't know Ken Ellis left. Truly, it was not a transparent process. So then I brought it to the faculty senate. Bill Fry, the dean of faculty, concluded that there was nothing to complain because my course in particular, I used a specific course, my course in particular was never canceled. It was removed from the course catalog, so nobody could sign up for it. All the lab equipment was given to other courses. The person in charge of the lab and the TAs were assigned to other classes. So I guess it depends on what your definition of is. So the course one. So I'll read Jed. I did get. How I learned the class was removed from the course catalog is I got an email from somebody, not anything that was addressed to me. Hi, Liz and Louise. I received this email from Undergraduate Biology today regarding the 2010-2011 Courses of Study catalog. Hi. The following courses are definitely being deleted from the catalog. I just got an email from Jed Sparks, and there's a list of a half a dozen or so courses from Linda. Okay, and then so Liz, who got this, sent it to me. That's how I learned the course was actually canceled or not canceled, depending on your definition of canceled. I wrote to a number of people, including Jed Spark, who was the one that deleted it. He said, "You repeat that BioG 110 has been eliminated. Do you think this is a fair assessment?" Okay, being removed from the course catalog would be my definition. But we could add having equipment given to other classes, taking the space away, and the personnel. Okay. Everyone involved would like you, the same instructor, to teach an almost identical course. This is now after I begin the complaint process. So if time is an illusion, which the physicists contend, I don't have a leg to stand on. But if there really is a true and absolute Newtonian time, then I think I'm right. Or are you referring to the lab? Or are you upset about the number 1110 is no longer being used? The BCTC felt we should change to a new number to avoid confusion among the non-majors. But if you feel strongly that the number BioG 1110 is important, I can present this to the BCTC. I'm confusing this point. You seem to be searching for the point in time when BioG 1110 was eliminated from the curriculum. And since it has never been canceled, you're not going to find that time. Okay. So the university... faculty committee headed by Bill Fry, who's a member of our assembly, concluded that my course was never canceled based on that email. David Delchamps, a member of that committee, was the only one that spoke to me afterwards that this was the evidence I had. I never had the chance, as we discussed before, how important it is to cross-examine. When you have a committee that meets here in Day Hall, you can't count on it following the common sense rules that you may follow. So I would like, in the same web page where we have the resolution and President Scorton's response, as well as Charlie Walcott's gentle reminder to the President that so many months have passed and he hadn't responded yet. And then when he did respond, it was to the wrong committee. It was just a shell game that was going on by the biology committee. I would like my grievance letter to Bill Fry to be a part of their website, as well as Bill Fry's response to me, as a matter of fact, that the course was never canceled, and David Delchamps' response. Now, Ari doesn't really want to put this on. If we don't put it on, then essentially we'll be complicit with just the let things go attitude that went on here. I'll answer any questions or elaborate.
Question for Ari.
Yeah. Ari?
Well, I'd like to answer to that because I think what I've said about this has been mischaracterized. So our office is sort of, our main function is to be the secretariat of each assembly that we support. We maintain a website where we put up the official records of each assembly, and we have certain standard practices that we follow. One of those practices is that what we post to the website is the official actions of the assembly. So resolutions that were proposed, what happened with the resolution, what dates it happened, what the outcome was, and the official communications around those resolutions, which are
over a list of actions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although there are other communications that don't necessarily go over that list. But basically, the way assemblies work is you have a meeting, somebody brings a motion, the motion is voted on, and if it's adopted, it gets conveyed to whoever has to act on it. And in the case of the resolution Randy is talking about, which was in fall of 2009, the resolution was adopted by the University Assembly, was conveyed to the President. The President responded. There were some follow-up discussions that resulted in him being emailed to respond again. And President Gordon responded the second time, also reported. And that closed the matter. And that's what we record. We don't record is individual unofficial or informal communications or discussions that happen around it, that happens in the meetings, in the minutes. There are two reasons for that. One is practical. We have to set some principal limit on the kinds of things we record, because otherwise, at the time a member of the UA or a member of the community asks us to post something, we might be assuming we need to point to some principle for why there are certain things that we are responsible for and there are certain things we aren't. And specifically, the reason the principle is that we only report the official actions that are adopted or considered by the UA is that someone looking at that website, if they saw personal opinions and personal notes posted, they might be led to believe that somehow the UA has reviewed and endorsed those as personal comments. In this case, the materials that I've seen seem to be a bunch of email exchanges that are not part of the conveyance. And what I said to Randy earlier today, and was just being apprised of the situation today, was that the proper way to get that information posted, or some of it posted, would be to bring a resolution to the UA that the UA can discuss, that it can inform stakeholders about, such as, for instance, this Jed Sparks, who I guess is at the center of this controversy, so that they can comment and the UA can make an informed, deliberate decision, and that can be posted. And I mean, that's how we work, that's how the UA works. And also, I would add that this is supposed to be an organizational meeting where new members have a chance to sort out who's going to be responsible for UA business over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normally a business meeting for discussing intricate issues. We have a lot of new members today who haven't heard about this. And the last time that this resolution was up for discussion was spring of 2010, which, I mean, you know, raise your hand if you were a member of the assembly back then. I think it's not really fair to ask this assembly right now to opine about an issue that it hasn't had the opportunity to learn about and study and inform itself about or seek out other stakeholders.
Although I passed this out last meeting, but the last meeting ran over. So
the documents weren't circulated, and I think that the one thing that I have is that these documents need to be personal, and they were not, the people that were in the emails were not notified that their emails could be made public, and that's something that I know was very important during the CJC discussions is that everyone that submitted comments were notified that those comments and their emails would be made public. So that's the one point that I wanted to clarify, is that that's not really our policy to make public emails that aren't.
And where's that policy?
It's not. It's just our traditionally what we do.
But traditionally, we never pass a resolution to see what will be on the website.
No one has ever brought up a resolution to do such.
Right. Okay. That's sort of just internal business. That should we have a consensus to do it, we can do it. And should we not, then we'll skip it.
Seems like, to me, the most straightforward way to handle this is for Randy to move that the material be posted on the website, that that motion have a second, and that there then be a vote on it.
Okay, I move that they be posted on the same part of the website where the resolution is and President Scorton's response.
Is there a second? Ramsey seconds. All those in favor? No, discussion, sorry, discussion. Yes, sorry.
Well, you know, I've read this document, and it's awful. I totally agree with Randy that it's an injustice and stupid. So, on the other hand, a lot of time has passed. I've been through one of these, too. Most of you here won't remember this, but there used to be a Division of Biological Sciences, and we had a huge argument in the Senate about should it be dissolved or should it not, if it's done. And we thought we had convinced everybody that it should be preserved, and the president just cut it down. And so I'm familiar with these arguments. But I really don't think it serves anything now to go into this again. I mean, we're all with you. But let me finish. And I know it's a matter of principle, but we're all adults around the table. We know how often principle is violated, and we know how futile it is often to fight battles that have already basically been decided. I think we should save our energy for something that we have actually some possibility of influence in. And I can just say one thing tactically, that you got maneuvered into defending your own course, which was a clever action on their part and fatal to your argument. Because as soon as you look like you're acting in your own personal interest, it's poison. That's where I carried it on. So I just think we should, I would say, drop it, and I would vote against this one.
Evan, I can hear you.
I'll just respond
about the battle part. Very little happens that's principled at Cornell because everybody's afraid of losing the battle or the battle's already lost. My eye's on the war. I don't mind losing battle after battle after battle, but I'm fighting a war for principle.
All I was going to say was I wonder what possible outcome you would hope for. If this motion were to pass, if the documents were to be posted online, what does that accomplish other than maybe embarrassing some people? And you know, it's not that there's not necessarily a reason to embarrass some people sometimes when they've done some things that maybe they shouldn't have, but beyond personal shame and embarrassment, does it accomplish anything?
Okay.
Does it reinstate a course? Does it change the biology curriculum, so on and so forth?
Actually, the first, just for the record, what I asked for in the remedies, should the academic freedom professional status find that the process used by the BCTC was not inclusive in terms of Biology 110, but rather excluding the hierarchical, and my grievance is valid, I suggest the following remedies. Recommend that in the future, any process involved in changing the curriculum be open, inclusive, and deliberative, as opposed to excluding hierarchical, and based on the golden rule. I mean,
well, what about What about the UA? I mean, we wouldn't do it this meeting, but next year, I don't think that's the sort of principle anybody in this room or any of next year's members would oppose. What about the UA adopting a resolution stating basically that when these sorts of changes happen, that stakeholders be consulted, and maybe being specific about what the UA would do or would want to see done if that process weren't followed?
I've been vigilant on this since December 2009, and I can tell you all the emails how nobody can get to it. As a matter of fact, the academic matters was taken out of our charter, probably in part due to this resolution, the resolution that we passed. I think the time has been ripe for a very long time to fight for some of this. On another thing, what we can look at by the fact that which courses were canceled, which courses were removed from the course catalog without the faculty member knowing, that Cornell is becoming more of an infomercial in biology than a place to critically and understand the material. This could be a way of saying we don't want Cornell University to become a four-year commercial or an infomercial. We want it to be really an institute of higher learning.
I mean, I of course would agree with all of those statements. What I wonder is, does posting your grievance letter and some emails accomplish that? Does that communicate to somebody, these are the sorts of principles we as a university stand for? I'm just not sure that it does. I mean, I stand for those principles. I would be happy to endorse a statement saying that I do. I share some of those very same concerns. But I don't know that posting these documents necessarily communicates that in a way that is clear to the community.
What the people that have enough power to cause these things to happen know that just what you say, you know, it's not going to do anything. And nothing will be done. We'll have years of nothing will be done.
I think...
Let me just ask, because you actually entered in discussion here the contents of those documents. So to what extent is this out already in terms of this, the minutes of this meeting?
Yeah, the minutes would be posted as soon as they're approved, which would be by the...
And likewise, is that it's on the audio recording.
What is it?
It's on the audio recording.
Yeah, yeah.
You've already read
So you read it into the record,
mm-hmm.
parts of it. Is that sufficient?
No, because the minutes will be pretty sanitized that come out of it.
Well, the recording will be online.
No, but you take the recordings offline now.
Is there any... I'm sorry, I haven't read all of these emails, so I don't know what the... Is there anything confidential in there that was intended for recipients?
You shouldn't be putting confidential things.
No,
yeah, that's why.
Nothing's confidential, and I take responsibility completely, which is a unique thing.
I would say at the discretion of the UA leadership, then it could be an attachment for the meeting materials, which is quite different from attaching it to a resolution that was closed 2 years ago.
Attachment to the minutes, you mean?
Like one of the meeting materials that was handed out before the meeting.
And is available on the minutes that will be online as an attachment?
When you click the link for the meeting, there's the agenda, the minutes, and all the attachments that were distributed for that meeting.
That's fine with me. That's as public as I need it.
Excellent.
Okay.
So the motion is withdrawn?
Sure.
Okay. So, is there any further discussion on the topic, or can we move to the next item on the agenda? All right, next item on the agenda is transition. So, this was initially the purpose of the meeting. So, what we need to make sure that we get done is elect an interim executive board for the summer. So, how we go about doing this, we would have nominations for the chair and vice chair. However, who's going to be here over the summer and is on the board next year?
That's my first question.
Yeah.
Show of hands, who's on the UA next year?
Who will be here?
Do we have an employee?
I may be on the...
Okay.
I have to be appointed officially tomorrow.
Okay. It looks like we have at least one person from every constituency.
Okay. Which is important.
be in point of order. Jim Blair, according to our records, will be on for another year.
Well, I say that we make Jim Blair the chair.
Yeah.
Wow.
Any votes?
So, nomination. So, I guess we're going to do that. For the interim chair for the summit.
I think that's why you need to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, or else you might find it.
Yeah. You got to
be able to
keep that email. By the way, who feels like you chair?
That's rude. That's rude.
It would be.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
How far back?
I'm just kidding.
You can't appoint somebody when they're not here.
Because they have to accept the nomination. Okay, so I guess I'll open up nominations for executive chair.
I'd like to nominate Kyle for interim chair. This is
interim.
Yeah.
These are interim positions.
For the summer. Also, it's more beneficial if the person, if the people elected will be here over the summer. For information. Are there any other nominations for chair?
I guess about point information. I know Mitch Payne cannot be here to say the presentation, but he is going to go this summer, and he'd be willing to do a summer exec position. I'm not sure if Robert's rules were by a text.
Proxy.
Yeah. Well, the GPSA has elected people in their absence when they have themselves said, well, I'm willing to serve in this position. I mean, it's sort of less than ideal. Mm-hmm. I think I don't want to speak on Mitch's behalf, but I'll speak on behalf of the office of the GPSA president and suggest that I don't know how he feels, but how I would feel is I would rather not be chair or executive on two different bodies unless I absolutely had to be.
I think this is just for the summer.
Right.
Which would be much less of a workload, as I understand.
That's true, yeah. And that being said, I was the interim chair last year.
Guilty.
And it was almost no work. It was a few emails here and there to get some approval for some things that needed to be done, and then preparing an agenda basically for the first meeting in the fall and conducting that meeting until such point as the new chair was elected.
Well, before we get too far into elections, can I ask if anybody in the room knows of any issues that are likely to come up over the summer?
Hearing board.
Okay, is that?
Which came up last summer,
yeah.
And took 20 minutes of emails to dispatch.
Basically, it involves you getting a list saying, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have to email the other members of the executive and get an official vote from the majority or in favor.
Gannett mentioned this past week that they're very interested in UA working with them on mental health and healthcare and various things. And should they have something, they may want to pass it through the UA. And
okay. Well, I accept that in nomination.
So are we nominating Mitch? Are you nominating Mitch?
Sure, I'm nominating Mitch.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none.
I need to call the question.
Okay.
Second.
So we're going to do paper ballot.
Is this for chair or
for
GPSA chair?
For interim chair. We have chair, vice chair. There aren't sessions on
it.
Oh.
No, it's just nominating and then the person accepts
okay.
And he evidently accepts the attack.
I didn't bring my Robert's rules, but if I did, it's best to say that. The second can be seen as an expression of support for that person, but it's not necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a fun read.
So
I read it to my you said that when people mention your name, you're supposed to walk into the room right at that moment.
They all run well.
Maybe I should try something that's alive.
A little bit.
Empty can't stare at
me,
right?
No,
you're good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're a native, huh?
I thought Ari said, does anyone need a punt?
That's right.
Don't need a punt. No.
He took it. He too. He wouldn't have it.
Sure. For information, who is going to be on the board next year? Assembly, sorry.
Question. Who we've decided can't be nominated for anything.
In my whole opinion.
Who worked really hard is an example. We should have a gym award, a gym ceremony.
I would move that we express our support.
We deserved it.
We did.
I second that.
Okay. Kyle will be the interim chair for the summer.
Yay. All right. TV line.
Yeah. It's going on my TV tonight.
My TV.
Okay.
Can you get a folding chair?
Folding chair? No.
Better than a lawn chair.
No. All right. Are there nominations for vice chair? Yeah.
Robert.
Any other nominations for vice chair? Seeing none, do we need a vote?
Well, strictly speaking, Robert's rules says you have to conduct a vote, but you would just say, all in favor of Robert, say aye.
All in favor of Robert, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Robert is the vice chair.
Not Robert's rules.
Right.
Now Robert's rules.
Yeah. He's holding vice lawn chair.
Nominations for vice chair of operations.
For operations.
So you can be a staff member or an undergraduate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there any nominations?
I'd like to nominate then.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, all those in favor of Ned being the vice chair for operations, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ned is the vice chair for operations. And then there is the at-large executive position, and because we have one of each constituency on the board, it has to be either Eddie or Joy.
I nominate
him. Any other nominations? You can nominate yourself.
Now we need to use more ballots.
Yeah. Oh. So we have another.
Is
it
Ron?
I'm sorry.
Ron has
nominated himself.
No, Eddie.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's
what
I thought.
Does
the nominee
have to accept?
Yeah.
Did the nominee accept?
Did you accept?
Well, I'll be here over the summer, so that's.
Yeah, I mean, that works for me, too.
Okay, are you going to be over the summer or no?
No.
Okay, so, do you withdraw your nomination, then?
I withdraw my nomination.
Okay. Then, all those in favor of Joy being that at-large position?
Aye.
All opposed? Joy is that at-large position on the board. Yay!
There are, if this is semi-off-topic, but my counting is correct. There are still two undergraduate vacancies on the way next year.
It was decided the way the policies and everything read on the essay side is that, the policies and constitution on the UA side don't specify how the undergraduates are put on the UA. Okay. And on the essay side, it reads that two are elected and two are appointed. So the essay is going to, right now, she's informally reaching out to people to see who's interested, and then are going to appoint two people to the UA for next year.
Rumor has it.
Listen, Elmo. Do you have from the dean another faculty member?
I do not.
The time is now to start drumming him.
Okay.
To get it, because that's hard to do. Okay.
It's on my list to talk with the office next week.
The more that
okay.
Get better.
What is that rule, though, about that the SA can just appoint UA members?
It's in the policies.
Wait, so there's...
Last year they did it. I don't know how we were all elected.
I definitely had a run for election.
We all ran for election. I don't... I think that's because it was a new charter that you weren't... And it was because... Wasn't it because the old charter had 6 undergraduate members, and then they got rid of 2, and then because they got rid of 2, the SA hadn't changed their policies yet, but they didn't realize that they didn't change the policy, so they read that the 2 that they got, that the UA got rid of, for the 2 that they appointed, and now the SA is going back to their policies and is going to appoint 2. But I don't think
that... That was beautiful.
Wait a minute, were 2 canceled?
Well, we decided it was the UA.
Language is very important.
There used to be 6 positions for undergraduates.
Yeah.
And the essay rules say 4 will be elected and 2 will, because each assembly can decide how its constituency is appointed to the UA, and the essay said 4 of them will be elected and 2 of them will be appointed by the essay. Usually the appointed ones are members of the essay who it appoints to be delegates to the UA. But I think that never got changed. So
yeah.
It still says on the book that 4 positions will be elected and 2 will be appointed, but there's only 4 positions to fill.
Correct. And that's why us 4 undergraduates currently were elected. And next year they're going to appoint them. I don't think SA members will be the ones appointed. Because I don't think, I read the policy and it never said the SA members are appointed, it said that the SA appoints 2.
But they can appoint members. Or they can appoint non-members.
Yeah.
Do we have 4 people running for UA this year?
No, too many.
You said 2,
yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't even a question, it was 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say that there's like another person running, though.
No, it was only 2 were running. So.
All right.
Yeah. So before the meeting's over, before I end the meeting, I just want to say thank you to everyone that was on the board this year, or on the assembly this year. It's been a great year, especially... thank you for the long meeting we had on the code of conduct, but it was very productive, so thank you to everyone for working hard.
Thanks for our wonderful
executive.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.